Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is Dale Jackson welcoming you to the Lamp and Light broadcast, coming to you from the studios of Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry. It takes a book of the Bible, verse by verse, teaching it as it is to men as they are, without compromise or apology. Speaking the truth in love is our purpose, and to give the lamp and light to all. Now, here is our teacher and pastor, Dr. Andy Bloom.
Yesterday in our study of 1 John chapter 4, we taught that there is no better counsel than the Word of God. Let's continue at that spot today. When men ignore the Word of God and do not make it God's Word to us, the final authority in all matters of life and faith. See, Christian psychology and counseling is a philosophy that grew out of really worldly psychology and counseling. It's not a science. The Bible is 100% right. It's 100% right in history, in science, and in all matters of counsel. As a matter of fact, in Isaiah, speaking of Jesus Christ, says that he would be called, his name is Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. In Psalm 63:8, he says to pour out your heart unto me. And my friend, what better counselor could you have than the Lord Jesus Christ? What better counsel than the Holy Spirit using the Word of God? What better counsel than the thrice holy God? And reading the counsel of the book, the thrice holy God has given word to word for every word that was written and preserved. That's the God that we have. That's the great counselor. Look, I had psychology classes. I even was a group therapy leader at one time. And that's where I became more and more convinced it was junk. And don't write me about that. Don't write me about that at all. That'll just be a waste of your time. Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Matthew 7:15, Jesus said when he was speaking of beware of false prophets. But how do you know them? Again, Jesus answers. In verses 16 through 20, we won't go into those verses right now, but he answered in Matthew 7:16-20, how you can know these people. We must understand this about the Spirit of God. He is a holy spirit. Okay? And I emphasize holy. Therefore, anything of him in life and in God's house will be what? It'll be holy. Not exalting nor exciting the flesh to be emphasized. Remember, the flesh and the spirit, according to Galatians as well as Ephesians, are at war against one another. So the flesh is not to be, will not be emphasized by the Holy Spirit of God as something good to do. Rather, that's bad. In trying to walk with God and serve God, carnal emotions that some people want to have that aren't really of God, you just need to let go of those things because that's going to lead to trouble. You know, I was thinking on this some time ago. The history of every temptation and of every sin, now this is speaking of the lives of good Christians even, It's always the same. The outward object of attraction, the inward commotion of mind, the increase and triumph of passionate desires, end in the degradation, slavery, and ruin of the testimony, because it's going by feeling. 2nd, 3rd John will show the importance of the truth being manifested. In John 14:6, Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me." Jesus is the truth. But notice what Jesus then said in John 17:17. "Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." Now, you know what I find amazing? Jesus Christ can take, I mean, God can take a sinner as myself who is not worthy to walk into his house, let alone to preach his word and teach his word. I'm not worthy to have the call of God upon. But he not only cleanses me of my sin by his precious blood, but he set me apart. That is, he sanctified me, set me apart. And then made sacred use of my life. He did that. Mine was to repent and believe and be submitted. And that's your responsibility too. Jesus in his high priestly prayer says, "Thy word is truth." And friend, his word is truth. No doubt about that. His word is truth. Devils use only part of the truth in order to deceive. Now, Satan knows the Bible. Boy, he will use the Bible any way that he can to deceive you. Satan tried it with Jesus telling him what the scripture said about this, about him dashing his foot. But Jesus gave him the whole counsel of God. And let's remember this. No scripture, according to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20, is of private interpretation. And he says there in verse 20, "Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation." Say, what does that mean? That means not any part of the Bible will contradict another part of the Bible. If you think it does, then your understanding is wrong. It's not the scripture that's contradictory. It's your understanding of the scripture that is contradictory and leads you into error. So understand that that's what the devil does. He tries to contradict the Word of God by using the Word of God and giving you a different outlook on it, a different way of thinking on it. So again, don't allow the devil to make the scripture a private interpretation. Remember, Satan told Jesus to turn the rocks into bread. He said all these things, looking at his deity, saying good things about Jesus. But the ultimate end is of what he would do for Jesus if Jesus would just bow and worship him. You see, all the things the devil was trying to get him to do, whether it was to jump from the temple, whether it's to turn the rocks into bread, look, all those things, giving him the kingdoms of the world, all of those things were pertaining to the flesh. The food is the lust of the flesh. All of the kingdoms, the lust of the eyes. And jump off the temple, the pride of life. And 1 John 2:15-17 warns us of that. See, Satan makes it sound religious, especially if he uses the Bible. But see, Satan's bottom line will always include something for the flesh that will exalt the flesh, make the flesh feel good about itself. Satan, in Jesus' name, developed in rabbinical writings things that had an appeal to the ear, but were contrary to the scriptures. For an example, man has a gift from God. So when he has this gift for God, if he'll use it for God, he's no longer obligated to use the gift to honor his parents. So he can use it for a sacred purpose. That sounds good. Well, you know, I'd like to do this for my parents. Most kids should, but God wants me to use this for him. But obedience to the command to honor mother and father are sacred. They're part of the Ten Commandments. They're repeated in the New Testament. It was the promise, the command that had a promise with, the first command was promised. You see, they were after the disciples of Jesus for eating food off a stalk in the field on the Sabbath. But then Jesus told them about getting their ox that fell in the ditch on the Sabbath out of the ditch. Well, you see, they added to the command in one case, and in other cases, they take away from the command. Some teach that today, on divorce, ways of adding to the command, while others take away from the command on the same issue, instead of sticking with the word. But the bottom line is to get the whole counsel of God. I did a 5-part series of sermons in our church a few years ago on marriage, divorce, and remarriage. One man who was an engineer said, as a matter of fact, a couple different ones that were engineers said, I listened to that whole thing from the beginning to end, and it was just like an engineer taking the first part and showing you how everything works by this point to this point to this point to this point, and said they liked the way it's laid out. Well, that was God. God laid it out, not me. But there are some people, because psychology or some Christian college taught them something different, they would not come to the church during that service and during that time, or they would come for the music, then they'd walk out and not have to hear that sermon. Now, of course, somebody like that does that, you're supposed to be part of your church, they would have no business at all. I mean, they would be completely on the devil's side to speak against a sermon they did not hear. Okay? Don't run down a sermon that you did not hear. If you didn't hear it, don't run it down. If you didn't read what they said, don't run it down. Now, Jesus spoke as one having authority, it was noted. He did not say, Rabbi Bernstein says, and Rabbi Songberg says. No, Jesus spoke as thus saith the Lord.
This is your radio pastor, Pastor Andy Bloom, saying, may the Word of God be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway today.
We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you would like a CD copy of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send us your name and mailing address and include the radio station by which you are listening and the date of the broadcast. We would appreciate a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us by our website and freely download the sermons by clicking on the sermon library. That site is www.centralbaptistocala.org. Again, the address of Lamp and Light Broadcast is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, OCALA, Florida, 34471. And our website is www.centralbaptistocala.org. This is your announcer, Dale Jackson, saying, may God's peace be with all who are in Christ Jesus.
My feet on his firm foundation, for the Bible stands. I will plant my feet on his firm foundation, for the Bible stands.